If you please remain standing for the reading of the gospel, it comes from the book of Mark today, chapter 9. But let us pray first. Oh Lord, we ask that you speak into this place, Father, Lord Jesus, in the power of the Spirit. Speak in the calming of our minds, the longing of our hearts. Speak, Father, for the words of my lips and the thoughts that we form. Oh Lord God, we have gathered here today to ask that you speak and we listen. In your Son's name, amen. From the book of Mark, chapter 9. And he said to them, truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make 3 tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. The word of God for the people of God. And you may be seated. You know, still talking to people, you know, and you can't help it, you know, seeing all the destruction. I was telling somebody, I went going to Monroe the other day on Highway 80. And I mean, there's a pile of wood in somebody's yard. And I mean, it's like from me to Alexa from the road. And I mean, they were starting to burn it. And I'm thinking, man, when that thing gets going, you're not going to be able to pass by the road right here. It's going to, you know, the heat is going to be unbelievable. But, you know, talking to people, you know, they said, you know, after about 3 days without electricity, man, this is real. You know, I need to do something. You know, it's just sit here and freeze, you know, or do something, you know, and then see all of the damage is just like, gosh, like a bomb went off. And then, you know, not this past weekend, but the weekend before was the Super Bowl. You know, I got to ask y'all this. You know, Taz, before the Super Bowl, did you know who Bad Bunny was? You did? You know, I'm like, who in the world is this guy? You know, but I heard more about the, you know, halftime. I had to Google who was even playing. You know, I didn't hear anything about the game. It was just, you know, the two halftime shows. You know, but I tell y'all, you know, I made a decision, you know, a long time ago, you know, that when it came to halftime shows, you know, for the Super Bowl, you know, it's time to either mute, turn it off, or walk away and go find something till the game came back. But, you know, also, you know, now this is just me, you know, a turning point for me as far as NFL football is concerned, when they started taking a knee during the national anthem, that kind of got me. But then, you know, when it became real, the New Orleans Saints, one game they were honoring a New Orleans police officer that was killed in a line of duty, and all the Saints were still on one knee. You know. And I talked to my son, big Saints fan. Well, Dad, they didn't know. I said, well, I can't help they didn't know it. They don't have enough sense to stand up when they're honoring that fallen police officer, I'm done. You know, that was, you know, I said, this is real. You know, it's a turning point for me. You know, it's, you know, I hadn't watched a football game since. Okay, now to get real. What was yesterday? Valentine's Day. Did you remember it, Ben? Oh, you're the doghouse? Yeah, you know, stay in the, yeah, we do, you know, we stay in the doghouse, well, yeah, but Valentine's Day, hey, put y'all on the spot, When did it get real? You know, love at first sight, first date, first kiss.
It's been a long time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're really in the doghouse now. Yeah. But you know, when did it get real? You know, when was the turning point? You know, and you knew, hey, this is the one. You know, Valentine's Day. Have you ever reached a turning point in your life about anything? You know, you say, okay, now it's real. Now I got to make a change. Have you reached a turning point in your prayer life where your prayer life has become real? Where you pray for people on our prayer list, for situations or things, you know, brought up here, or things out in the world? I mean, things go on in the world out there. The world needs prayers, you know. But, you know, to pray for your kids, your family, you know, to pray for people in the doghouse, you know, and not to make a lot, you know, not make fun of prayer, but just, you know, to pray for people. You know, has your prayer life, you know, got real? You know, we're talking about, you know, well-known passages of Scripture. And a well-known passage of Scripture, you know, today is Transfiguration Sunday. Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. Next Sunday, we start Lent. So, you know, this, you know, in the life of the church, today is kind of a turning point. You know, that we turn the corner, you know, and we start heading towards Lent, you know, with Ash Wednesday, you know, where life gets, you know, real. You know, that Jesus, you know, he took Peter, James, and John, you know, up on this mountaintop with him. You know, now I think it's the 8th, 9th, and 10th chapters of Mark, you know, are known as the discipleship chapters. You know, they're also known as the follow me chapters. Now, they're known as the discipleship chapters because, you know, in Mark, you know, we're studying the book of Mark at the Bible study, you know, and Mark hits the ground running. You know, if you ever read his gospel, you know, I'm reminded about it, you know, doing this Bible study, you know, it's boom, 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 one thing after another. He hits the ground running. But the 8th, 9th, and 10th chapters, you know, it's called the discipleship chapters because in Mark, you know, he tells us the cost of following Jesus. You know, what it is, you know, to follow Jesus. You know, and, you know, Jesus, you know, it's not just like, you know, it's Jesus asks us, you know, to follow him. You know, at one point, the disciples are in a boat, you know, and Jesus, you know, tells them, you know, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. You know, in studying the book of Mark, you know, I'm bewildered in one way, but encouraged in another. You know, because the disciples, you know, they never understand. They just don't get who Jesus is. You know, they're in a boat, you know, and Jesus tells them, you know, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. You know, and they're in the boat, and they forgot to bring any bread with them. So they start talking between themselves. You know, and said, did he tell us that because we don't have any bread? You know, and Jesus, you know, kind of, you know, he comes down on them hard. You know, and they needed to. You know, does Jesus need to come down on you hard? Huh? You know, but he came down on them, and he asked them, do you have eyes? Can't you see? Do you have ears you don't hear? And he said, do you have a brain you don't remember? He said, you were with me when I fed the 5,000. You were with me when I fed the 4,000. And how many baskets of leftovers did you pick up? How is it you do not see and understand? You know, so, you know, I read this about the disciples. You know, I'm thinking, how can they not understand? But at the same time, you know, I get encouraged, you know, because I said, they were with Jesus. They were in the presence of God, and they didn't get it. You know, so if at times I don't get it, say, hey, I'm in good company, you know, with them, you know. But it's just the disciples had not reached that turning point yet in their lives to realize who Jesus is. You know, and he starts telling them, hey, you know, I have to go to Jerusalem, be arrested, tortured, I'm going to die. But in 3 days, I'm going to rise from the dead. It's when Peter says, hey, pulls Jesus, hey, you can't do this. You got to stop this. You can't let that happen. And what does Jesus tell Peter? Get behind me, Satan, for you have your eyes on the things of the world, but I'm about the business of God. You know, and then Jesus tells the disciples, and there's other people following just besides the disciples, and he says, for what does it profit a man to gain the world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in his glory. You know, and that scripture, 6 days after that, 6 days after all of this, he takes Peter, James, and John up on the mountain. Now, I ran across this week. These three disciples, Peter, James, and John, you know, they're mostly known as Jesus' inner circle. You know, the ones close to Jesus, that he chose him to be his inner circle. But this one Bible scholar said, what if it's this? That, yeah, they are in his circle, but what if he chose those three because they were the three most likely to get into trouble? You know, so he knew he better keep them close to him to keep them out of trouble. Question, do you need to be close to Jesus to stay out of trouble? Are you a troublemaker, Miss Julie? Do you get into trouble? How close do you stay to Jesus? These three disciples, they're up on the mountaintop with Jesus. You know, and another Bible scholar wrote, you know, that, yeah, the transfiguration's a big thing. But he said, I think it's a bigger thing that Jesus held intact his glory walking around each and every day. That, you know, what did it take for him walking around every day, not for that to happen, to hold it inside, that glory, that light, that transfiguration didn't show through each and every day, the power it took for him to hold that in. But said it was exposed. He let it shine every time he talked, every time somebody was healed, that glory shined through. Have you seen the glory of God? Have you had a mountaintop experience? The thing about mountaintop experiences, you don't have to be on the mountaintop. It can be right where you are right now. It can be in your recliner. It can be at your table with your coffee. It can be in your office. You know, you can be at your desk, anywhere. Just don't do it while you're driving and close your eyes. You know, I think I see some people having mountaintop experiences and they close their eyes. I can tell by their driving. You know. But mountaintop experiences can be anywhere. What is it? The three are alone with Jesus. Has your relationship with Jesus got real for you? Have you reached a turning point where you have and you want and you strive for those mountaintop experiences? 6 days later, he took with him Peter, James, and John, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant as no one on earth could bleach them. From the book of John, the Word became flesh and lived among us. We have seen his glory, glories of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Have you had a mountaintop experience with Jesus lately? Are you searching for that mountaintop experience? And Moses and Elijah, you know, Moses representing the law, Elijah represents the prophets. Together, they're showing Jesus is the fulfillment of everything. in him all the glory of God, the fulfillment of all scripture, everything, God and coming and walking among us. That when we read this, when we study this, we're not studying it just to find, you know, for our mind, just to find principles or rules or laws. We're studying it to have those mountaintop experiences. We're studying it to find the love of God, to know God loves us, and to be in relationship with Father, Son, Spirit. You know, but this one part of this, you know, and it gets me every time I read it. Peter, you know, just blurting, and it's got to be Peter, you know, talking about one's getting into trouble. Yeah, I think, you know, Jesus kept him close. He never knew what this guy was going to do. But he blurts out, hey, it's good for us to be here, huh? You know, I'm thinking, duh. You know, yeah, it's good for us to be here. But it says he was afraid. They were terrified. Does the presence of God, does God speaking to you terrify you? Have you had that mountaintop experience? Were you terrified, you know, of what God said, what God asked you to do? What is keeping you from searching out and having those mountaintop experiences? And then the cloud. This is my son. Listen to him. Are you listening for God? Because God wants to speak to us. God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to everybody. It's just that some people don't care. I'm not saying any of y'all. Some people don't care. Some people don't look for those opportunities. Some people don't try for those opportunities. And that's the thing. We have to try. We have to seek those opportunities out. That, yeah, Jesus led them up on the mountain. They saw all of this. But then they came back down the mountain. And how quickly the three bewildered again. Coming down the mountain, scripture says, they're arguing with each other, asking each other, what does this rising from the dead mean? What does that mean? You know, that they go up and they see all of this. And just right over their head. But the thing about it is, they saw that, but it had not got real for them. They had not reached that turning point yet. And why? Because they had not seen Jesus' resurrection. They had not seen the resurrected Jesus yet. You can only understand the glory of God. You can only understand who Jesus is, what he has done in the resurrection. To know the worst thing is never the last thing. To know that death has been swallowed up in victory. To know there is death has no more sting. To know that. And the thing about us, they did not know that yet. They would see it later. But for each and every one of us, for the rest of the world, we know that already. We know death had no hold on Jesus. We know death has no hold on us. So it still begs a question. Who is Jesus to you? Has Jesus got real for you? Have you reached a turning point in your life? To know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, and to seek him out, to seek out mountaintop experiences wherever you're at, to know Jesus. He's calling. He wants to call somebody he wants to talk to. He's after one of you right now. Huh? This one's in trouble. I need to talk to you now. But Jesus does, all kidding aside. He wants to talk to each of us if we just take the time out to listen and talk to him. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Lord God, we just give you thanks. Lord God, we give you thanks for your written word that, Lord God, tells us the stories of things gone by. But, Lord God, you're not through speaking, you're not through acting, that you're still speaking today. If we would just be still and listen. Lord God, in your name, we give you thanks and pray. Amen.